Access Credit Union has always been at the heart of our community through good and bad times. We want to continue to play our part in helping our community through the COVID-19 crisis. As businesses reopen, we encourage our community to work together by staying local, borrowing locally, and spending locally. Access Credit Union is here to help.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star and I'm joined as always by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. Before we kick things off this week, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The more ratings, reviews and subscribers we get, the more we can continue to grow the podcast. Now on with the show. On today's podcast, we'll be joined by Ciarán Crowley of the Clonakilty Hurlers following their 17th Carbery Junior A Hurling Championship success on Sunday. Con beat St Mary's 217 to 19 points in an absorbing contest at Aheol. Corsi Rovers Camogie captain Sinead O'Reilly will also be on the line following their brilliant 5-12 to 1-12 win over Inniscarra in the senior county final on Sunday. It was the first ever senior success for Corsi Rovers, and Sinead will join us to reflect on the historic win. We'll also hear from Skibbereen captain Paddy Crowley ahead of their crunch semi-final clash with Éire Óg in the Senior A Football Championship at Ahamilla on Sunday. But Kieran, we're going to kick things off with the Clonakilty Hurlers, who overcame St Mary's on Sunday. As I mentioned, it was their 17th divisional success. So once again, Clonakilty are the kings of Carbery Hurling.
Yeah, Jack, they're the aristocrats of Carbery Hurling. Like you said, they're 17 Carbery Junior A Hurling titles, which is a phenomenal record. And they beat a St Mary's team that was chasing the club's first ever Carbery Junior A Hurling title. So we had the it really was a David against Goliath clash going into it. But in fairness, St Mary's really put up a massive battle here. And maybe they were a tad unfortunate that they didn't pull it off because Mark White, the Clonakilty goalkeeper, made three or four incredible saves, including a late penalty save. We know Mark is as the Cork senior football goalkeeper, but he showed he's worth his weight in gold in hurling as well. Like I said, he made some really, really important saves the last day. But goals win games, Jack, and Clonakilty struck for two goals the last day, and that was the difference between the teams in the end. They got a goal after 30 seconds, and that really set them on their way. And they got their second goal came in the second half, and that just gave them enough of a cushion then to hold off St Mary's in the end. It was a couple of notable performances. We mentioned there Mark White in the Clonakilty goal had a superb game. David Lowney was named the man of the match. He's Clon's Cork senior hurler, and he actually played 80 minutes for UCC the night before. They took on Black Rock in a Cork Premier Senior Hurling Championship semi-final up in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and that game went to extra time. So David played the full 80 minutes there. Then 24 hours later, he played the full game for Clon in the divisional final. He was named man of the match. He scored 8 points, 6 from 3, so two big games within 24 hours. And also Jason Collins, who we had on the podcast last week, the St Mary's captain, what a performance by him. He got 15 points for St Mary's, and so lucky that he ended up on the losing side. But Clonakilty, they're back on top in Carbery Hurling, and they now go forward into the county series, and they play Kinsale in Bandon this Saturday. And I suppose for Clon, Jack, the fact that they've won so many Carbery Junior Hurling titles, they really feel that it's time for them to kick on now in the county series and get to the latter stages of the County Junior A Hurling Championship. And that will be their target now. And they're a team that's primed to go far in this competition. Hopefully they'll get Sean White back. Sean White is their usual captain, but he missed the final last weekend because of a hamstring injury. Maybe this game against Kinsale might be too soon for him. But if they get Sean White back, they have Sean McAvoy, they have Mark White, they have David Lowney. They have a really, really strong team there. And they can, but they have the potential to go far in the county. And when I spoke to Kieran Crowley, the Clonakilty fullback, earlier, we spoke about the upcoming clash with Kinsale. We're joined now on the podcast by Clonakilty fullback Kieran Crowley, who played a huge role in Clon's 17th Carbery Junior A Hurling Championship win last Sunday. First off, Kieran, congrats on a great win. What's it like to beat Carbery Junior A Hurling Kingpins again?
Sure, it's nice. All right, in fairness, don't know, we hadn't won anything really since 2017, so it was good to get over the line now on Sunday. You know, it was a huge game, right, for us, because we hadn't, as I said, we hadn't won anything in a while, and just for everyone and for the club, like, we needed to get it over the line on Sunday, and thank God we did.
Like, it was a very tough game against St. Mary's. In fairness, they were coming into the final off the back of a huge win against Ballinascarty, and they were probably very hungry for their first ever Carbery Junior A Hurling title, so they were dangerous opposition for you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, even I was looking at the article during the week there, and I saw a couple of the players that were playing. Like, you know, Collins, he got a good few scores in their game against Ball, and Dylan Scanlon and Brian Everett and stuff. Like, you know, Brian Everett got a goal or whatever. You know, so we always knew that they were going to bring a lot of intensity to the game, and to be in fairness to them, they did. We went right down to the wire. Like, you know, towards the end of it there in the final quarter, you could have said it had gone either way. You know, it was tit for tat, and we just kept ahead, thank God. But, no, in fairness to them, that was a very good game. They could have gone either way, in fairness.
You got the dream start. Clon got a goal within 30 seconds, so that puts you on the front foot straight away.
Yeah, to be fair, Angelo, the second one as well, that was probably after about 40 minutes, and we were probably struggling in the game. Mary's probably were just in their purple patch. And thank God, I think Sean Donoghue might have been a bit ticked there. He was saying that they were saying that Scally got the goal, so but I think it went all the way, and he was having a good few arguments on Sunday night about it, so we'll give him that goal, all right.
And it was such an important goal, because it gave you that cushion to kind of, when St. Mary's did kind of come back in the final quarter, like, you built up enough of a lead to kind of withstand it. Even when Jason Collins got that late penalty, he still had that 4-point cushion.
Yeah, you know, we were always kind of trying to stay ahead, and even that goal gave us another bit of a cushion, and so there was a couple of scores at the end. McAvoy got a master point, and Lowney got one as well. Just drove us on another bit, if you know what I mean. It was like we got another gear out of ourselves. And, you know, Collins got the penalty at the end. Like, I'd say, to be honest, Michael Manny was saying it was going to be the last puck. But I'd say if he scored, no, he'd have left him have a chance, surely. And really, though, he pulled off a nice old save, and he kept us out, thank God.
Just on Mark White, obviously, as fullback, when you look behind you and you see this 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", beast of a man kind of filling the goal. Like, we always know Mark is for his football exploits, but he showed he's such a good hurling goalkeeper as well. He put off 3 or 4 top-class saves the last day.
Yeah, you know, I thought the first one was actually one of the best saves, I'd say, the whole lot. Like, we were just after getting the goal below, ball came up the field, and that was point-blank. Like, it was a reactive save, like, in fairness. And he made 2 or 3 other ones. Like, the penalty was a tough save as well. It was just after getting a bit wet as well. So it hit the ground, but in fairness, he pulled it off. He's always roaring at me inside there, innit? So it keeps me on my toes as well.
And looking at another county man, David Owen, he got my man in the match. And, like, he'd obviously a super performance at 8 points. And he played 80 minutes the night before with UCC. So kind of, Jesus, to get 140 minutes within 24 hours of top-class hurling games, it's a testament to the man.
He's a machine, right, in fairness. Like, to play 80 minutes the day before a West Cork final, like, geez, I wouldn't be doing it at all anyway. I'd say it'd be in severe pain, but to be fair, he's a warrior, right, in fairness, got it done for us. A couple of monster scores when we need him, and, like, he's always around the place to win a ball when we need him as well, in fairness.
What does it mean for Clon to be kind of kings of Carbery hurling again? Like, you won 2015, 2017, now 2020, you're back on top again. Like, you're a club that's used to winning this competition, but what does it mean to you as the players to be champions again?
That's absolutely huge, right, in fairness. So, no, that was my third one as well. I was involved in 15 and 17 as well. But, God, I think we needed this one a bit more than the other two. Like, you know, having gone, I suppose, a bit barren with the old trophies in the last couple of years, we knew we had a chance as well. Like, after a couple of good games, and we put up a big score against Mahunas there in one of the games. And I'd say we're trying to judge ourselves off that a bit too much, you know.
The kind of reward, Kieran, now is Clonakilty going into the county series, and you're playing Kinsale and Bendon in a Junior A quarter final this Saturday. Is the hope for Clon now to make an impact in the county series?
Yeah, I massively think so. Anyway, like, you know, it's another massive game for us. Like, probably bigger than last weekend. In the past few years, every time we've got in, we've won the West Cork. We've bottled it enough, really, in the county section. Like, so to be honest, no county quarter final. Like, it's only three games. If we could get over, if we could go over next weekend, just try to get a win out of ourselves, and you know, we'll have Whitey back then as well if he could with his hamstring, and you know, a bit of momentum as well. If we kept on winning, like, I'd say we could rattle it. Like, but again, we can't look past Saturday. Like, they put up about 122, I think, the last day. They won by a point. But I think the Shamrocks got a couple of late goals as well. Like, so Savage shooting in 122, do you know what I mean? Like, so we obviously know that they've quality all around the pitch, and we need to be well up for it. Now, we'll train hard for the week, and hopefully we'll be right for all again on Saturday.
Like you said there, I suppose Clan probably feel like you probably should have made more of an impression in the county, go back to 2015 and 2017 and other years. But you kind of feel that everything is pointing in the right direction this year. Kind of the games are going to be run off pretty fast. If you hit momentum, hit form at the right time, it could catapult you towards the business end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it was in 2017 we played Ballyhooly and we went extra time and we lost by about 4 points in the end of the game. We probably should have won in normal time. So it's very important now if we can get a good start and stay going on Saturday. Just even everyone having a load of games as well. Like, you know, we've had two or three games. We play Kilbrennan a challenge and stuff as well. So, you know, with all the lads hurling flat out, like, you know, with the world of the football, everyone's hurling flat out. So hopefully that'll bring them on a good bit as well. But, Bandon suits us as well. It's a big, big pitch. So hopefully we can get the scores early on and drive on from that. I suppose we have a bit of luck that we played there as well in the semi-final, so we kind of know where the points are, hopefully.
And what helps took you on, I think, is that the Carabao Junior Hurling Championship has been so competitive the last couple of years. If you look at Kilbree, look at Ballinasloe, look at St. Mary's, look at yourselves. You know, there's some really good teams in there. So it takes a good team now to win the Carabao Junior Hurling. So you're getting that competition in the division, which should hopefully stand to you when you go out into the county.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, look, as you said, there now, Kilmeen, Val, they would have been there thereabouts the last couple of years, I suppose. They each won the last 2 years. Val beat us last year and Kilmeen beat us the year before. So no, absolutely, like, it's a massive competition. And Mary's, I suppose, were kind of a bit of a surprise package, you could say. But yeah, they well deserved to be in it. Like, you know, they put us to the pin of our collar, in fairness to them. And it was a very tough game. But as you said, no, hopefully it'll stand to us now going forward from Saturday, and hopefully a bit more after that as well if we can get going.
Very best luck, Ciarán. Hope it goes well against Kinsale, and you've got a couple of games left this season.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Access Credit Union has always been at the heart of our community through good and bad times. We want to continue to play our part in helping our community through the COVID-19 crisis. As businesses reopen, we encourage our community to work together by staying local, borrowing locally, and spending locally. Access Credit Union is here to help.
Courtney Rovers made history on Sunday, landing their first ever senior Camogie title after 21 years competing at the grade. They beat Inniscarra, who were competing in their fifth consecutive final, on a scoreline of 5-12 to 1-12 with the current Celtic Ross West Cork Youth Sports Star of the Year, Fiona Keating, bagging a hat-trick of goals. Kieran, this was a win of huge significance for Courcy Rovers.
That's a huge win for Courcy. I think they've been senior for 21 years and this is their first senior title. So they're celebrating in style this week, and so they should. It's a historic win for the Courcy's Camogie team. This was only their second ever senior county championship final too, Jack. And their first was 2 years ago when they also faced Inniscarra in the final, but Inniscarra won that day. And that defeat actually helped Courcy Rovers so much going into last weekend's final, because they learned lessons from losing the 2018 final. Like, just a small example, I remember talking to Sinead O'Reilly for a piece for the Southern Star back in June and July, and she was telling me that when the national anthem came on before the county final in 2018, that the Courcy players were looking around almost shocked, and what's happening? Because it was all new to them. All the trappings of a county final was new to them. But they've learned from that, and they came back this year better, stronger. They were 2 years on their development, and they were well placed this year to win the county title, which they did. You have to look at some of the talent that they have. They have three Cork players in their forward ranks. You mentioned Fiona Keating there. They've also Saoirse McCarthy and Linda Collins. And between them, the last day, they scored 3-9, which is a... 4-9, which is a superb total. Fiona Keating scored 3-2, Linda Collins got 1-5, and Saoirse McCarthy got 1-1. And when you have players of the calibre of that three up front, it gives you a chance in any game. But one of the strengths of this Courses team this year has been their defence, which Nate O'Reilly in goal. You've Karen Cahan at full back, their captain. You've Cliona Hayes, you've Ashley Maloney, who's been outstanding. You've Grainne Hennan. It's a really, really strong defensive unit that Courses have. And they've shown that all through the championship, where they've been a really, really hard team to break down. And it all came together last Sunday against Enniscarra. They had a poor start. They slipped 5 points down, but they didn't panic. They played their way back into the game. They were 8 points up at half-time. They fended off a brief Enniscarra comeback at the start of the second half, and they powered the victory then. So, superb win for Courses, and the adventure isn't over yet. They're going into the Munster Senior Club Championship this weekend. They were away to declare champions on Sunday, so they have a chance now to make their mark in Munster. And when I caught up with goalkeeper Sinead O'Reilly a little bit earlier, she was telling me that, I suppose, how much this win means for Courses Rovers Camogie. We're delighted to be joined on the podcast this week by Courses Rovers goalkeeper Sinead O'Reilly, who played a huge role in Courses' historic win last Sunday. They were crowned County Senior Camogie Champions for the first time in the club's history. How does that sound, Sinead, that Courses are Cork Senior Camogie Champions?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I know, I'd say anyone who's ever won a county would say it's unreal, and it is. It's amazing. It's great. It's a little bit surreal still. We're actually out here now watching back the match, and even watching it, it's like, oh my God, like, we did it. We just did it. It's great. Super, super feeling.
Because we spoke, I think it was back in late June, the start of July, and we were talking for a piece for the Southern Star. You were kind of saying, like, we're in real bonus territory this year. Like, at one point, we thought we'd have no GA season, and thankfully, we have. And for Courses to go and win a county title in this year of all years, like, it's fairy tale stuff.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, amazing. And you know what? I think all the hard work and that we did during the COVID, I think, really helped. Like, Shirley Maloney did great background work, Zooms and Zoom trainings. Now, at the time, it was just keep people going, keep people's heads fresh, keep people meeting. But looking back now, we met twice a week for 3 or 4 months of lockdown. It was just unreal. And like, as you said, through all the COVID, we didn't even think we'd play one match, let alone play the lot, win every match and win the county. Is just an added bonus. It's brilliant.
You could see throughout the championship, like, Courses, you're building up momentum, that you were getting better with each game. And take me to just before the final last Sunday against Enniscarra. What was the feeling in the camp like? Because we all know back in 2018, that was Courses' first final, and Enniscarra were the team that beat you that day. So what changed this year? Could you sense a change even in your approach to the game, how you felt before?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I suppose 2 years ago, and I spoke to you about this already 2 years ago, we were totally green going up there. Most of us were, like, and like, I know a lot of people are saying people are 2 years older now this year. That makes an awful difference. Like, I was sitting in the car with my sisters yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, we're all 2 years older. Like, just that little bit more experience. And like, in fairness, the girls brought down a boom box training all week, and just we'd be training away, and someone would just randomly plan the national anthem. You're like, where is pay? Like, it's normal, it's fine. It's, you know, little psychology things like that, which are hugely important, which definitely made a difference to us the last time. And I think as you grow as a team, and I think we did so well this year, and we knew what we could do. And I think the biggest probably turning point for us was beating Douglas. Like, Douglas were really coming strong this year. And to beat them, I remember we came off and I said to the girls, I said, if no one has belief after that, we're in big trouble, because we have to now. Like, and I think belief was definitely one of the biggest things that we could actually do, you know, the change of it.
It's very interesting what you said there, Sinead, about bringing the boombox and playing the national anthem, because that was something that caught you by surprise in the 2018 final, because, like you said, it was all new to you.
Yeah, huge. Yeah, certainly me. I remember looking around going, oh my God, what is going on? And like, even during the week, one of the mentors were like, look, there's going to be a lorry there. The examiner are going to be up there. So they were like, just when you get up there, just look at the lorry and be like, oh yeah, it's a lorry, grand, get over it. You know, just all these little things, like, you know, so it made an awful difference, really.
Like we were saying there, you're 2 years further along in your development. But what was going through your mind in Enniscarra, and if they were sent to a 5-point lead early on?
Oh, we can all honestly say we thought we were back to 2018. I was like, oh, this is just, but like, we just, I suppose maybe a couple of years ago we might have just dropped after that, but we just, you know, there's leaders in every line of the pitch, but just keep building back. But certainly I thought, oh, this is it now, we're just in trouble here. Like,
what changed this year? So what sets this Courses team apart from the 2018 Courses team?
What changed this year? I certainly think with the COVID, like, nobody was out, nobody was on J1s, nobody was on holidays. You know, everyone was around. Like, there wasn't a whole lot else to do but come over. And I think our team in particular, and like a lot of teams, were just so, we were so close but so long, and we just needed one good chance. You know, we were always close but not close enough, like, really.
Even talking to the likes of Fiona Keating and Karen Cahan over the past couple of weeks, they both made the point that this Courses team, it's like, it's an all-round team. You know, like, we talk about Fiona Keating and Linda Collins and Saoirse up front, but at the back yourself, with Karen there, Ashley Maloney, I think you're such an all-round strong team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know what, this year more than ever, and maybe it's because I'm in the back line, but the backs are just, you know, forwards will score, forwards will always score, that will always happen, and we have amazing forwards. But I certainly think this year in particular, the backs have just been outstanding. And, like, if the backs are outstanding, that means they have the ball, and that means they can give the ball to the forwards, which is just great, you know, it's great, yeah, great all-around team, in fairness.
Talking of the forwards, like we said there, Fiona Keating got player of the match. I think she got a hat-trick yesterday. Linda Collins got 1-5. Saoirse scored a goal as well. Kind of, when you have that firepower up front, it must really give you confidence hitting the Dini game.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, if anyone had said that you're going to score 5 goals in a county final against Enniscarra, no way would you believe it. Like, you know, and, like, everyone had their own job to do, but, like, the scores were coming from, you know, we just saw there in the video, Jacinta Crowley got a free, or point from play, you know, like, Jacinta's our free taker, she's our hard worker in the middle of the field, but when you have someone like that then just popping off points, like, it's great.
You made an important early save, I think 9 minutes in, Enniscarra had a chance of a goal and you stopped it.
Yeah.
And when you consider Enniscarra had such a good start, that was actually a very important moment so early on.
Yeah, I just remember her coming and I was like, right, okay, I just have to go. Like, if I stay, I'm in trouble here. Oh yeah, we just watched it back. I actually don't even know where it hit. But anyway, it went wider for a 45, I'm not sure. But yeah, that was great, yeah.
And was there any moment in the second half, well, the final quarter, when you allowed yourself, when the game was on, when you allowed yourself to think, okay, we actually have this, we're going to win the county final?
I think at one stage we might have been 2 goals up, and the umpire, he was chatting away, his lovely old fella Danny, I think his name was, and he said, oh, you have it in the bag. And I was like, oh no, like, you actually can't say that, like, this is in Enniscarra, this is the county final, you know, you can't. I suppose, look, when we, the last maybe 5 minutes, I started crying in the goal because I knew we'd won, but I was like, oh my god. But I suppose then you really do be like, yeah, we've done it, like.
And when the final whistle went in, Sinead, did it live up to your expectations to know that Courses are county champions?
Beyond everything, like, unbelievable. And usually I'm the girl in the goal running into the dugout to follow everybody for the celebrations. And I was like, I can't, like, I'm just going to sit down here in the goal. And in fairness, everyone came to me. I was like, oh, this is great. I just couldn't move. I was absolutely bawled, like, and I'm not a real crier, like, oh, it was just unbelievable. Yeah, great.
Because to win a county title and the first kind of senior camogie title for Courses with your friends, and in your case with your sisters and your cousins and everything, it's a real family affair you've got on there. It's such a special moment for everyone involved.
Oh, it's great. And look, especially I think with the COVID and the restrictions, like, and even the streaming of the matches over the last week, so it's been amazing. Like, you know, we had supporters and then we didn't, but, like, the support, like, the village is red and white, you know, it's just great and great. Yeah, great family affairs, and it's great.
What do you think this means to Courses Camogie?
Oh, but you know what? When we got home last night, we did a convoy through Ballinspittle and Ballinasloe, and there was girls there who won the Senior B County, come up Senior A in 99, and they were there, and they were just bawling, you know? And you're like, oh my God, I didn't know you were playing, you know? Like, this has been such a long time coming, and such a long time coming, I think, for all the trainers throughout all the years, you know, the last 20 years, it's not just one or two, like, it's, you know, an accumulation of everyone. Oh, it just means everything, really. Look, it's just, yeah, it's super.
I know, it's fantastic, Sinead. Everyone's delighted for you. It's great. You're one of the great stories of this GA season. Enjoy the rest of the celebrations and congratulations again.
Super. Thanks a million, Kieran.
Great stuff there from Sinead, and congratulations to everyone involved with the Courses Rovers Camogie team on a historic win. Now, before we chat to Paddy, I just want to pause for a minute to chat to our friends at Access Credit Union.
The Star Sport Podcast is, of course, brought to you by Access Credit Union, your trusted local financial partner. Just recently, I went through the process of opening a current account with Access Credit Union, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that it's changed my life. I was able to open the account online during lockdown, which made the process completely hassle-free, and it was made even easier by the great support provided by Access Credit Union team leader Amanda O'Sullivan, who joins me now. Amanda, I understand you can now apply for a credit union loan online as well.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, you can. If you thought applying for your current account was easy, you'll be delighted when you come to us for your car loan. You can apply online just as long as you're registered for your online banking. A couple of clicks and it comes to us here in Access Credit Union. The personal touch still isn't lost. We'll still ring you back and discuss the loan with you. And you can upload any supporting documents you needed, your payslips, bank statements, that sort of thing. We attach them here to your loan, assess the loan, and you can draw it down online. So we aim to do that all within 24 to 48 hours, depending on when you submit your documents. And I suppose it was something that was in the pipeline for a while, but with COVID-19, it sped us up to provide the service. And it's really worked out well for us. And, you know, for members being able to access their funds and still draw down their loan, it's been a great asset to us, really, and to the community. I suppose, typically people always had to come into the credit union to draw down their loan. And, you know, for young people who may not be living in the area anymore, we were inaccessible then. So now we're back in the market for these members again. And hopefully they will support us as we are supporting local businesses. And, you know, with every 10 euros spent in the locality, it generates 40 euros for the local economy. So in turn, the interest that you're paying on your loan in your local credit union goes back into your local economy. So, you know, everyone's helping each other with this.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Amanda. And don't forget, Access Credit Union is your trusted local financial partner. Access your money 24/7 from anywhere in the world with an Access Credit Union current account and enjoy all the benefits while keeping your money local.
On Sunday at Ahamilla, the Skibbereen footballers face Éire Óg in a crunch semi-final clash in the Senior A Football Championship. In a few minutes, we'll hear from their captain, Paddy Crowley. But before we do, Kieran, I just wanted to ask you about this Skib team. They haven't put a foot wrong so far this year and they've looked very impressive in their group games.
They have, yeah, you're right, Jack. They've looked fierce impressive. They topped their group with 3 wins from 3. I watched them closely this year. You can't but be impressed by what O'Donovan Rossa have done. They kicked it off with a huge win over St. Nick's in Inishannon back probably late July. Now they put up 4-22 that day. But we have to negate the fact that St. Nick's are really, really poor. But Skib beat what was in front of them and they pushed on in and they played Ballingeary in their second game and that was a horrible, wet, nasty day over in Ballinacarriga. But again, Skib came through that and that was a real gut check, a real tough challenge because Ballingeary really put it up to them. But Skib showed something different there. They showed their heart and resolve, their character, because they were under pressure in the second half, but they kicked on and it was an impressive win. That set up then top of the table, clash against St. Michael's. Both teams were already true to the latter stages, but the winner would get the one automatic semi-final spot that was up for grabs, and that was an epic game. Skib eventually won 3-13 to 3-12, but at one point in the first half they were down 8 points, but again they showed their resolve and their character and their resilience to come back in the second half and beat a good St. Michael's team and go straight through to the semi-final. So Skib would be happy with where they are right now. They're motoring along well. They've had a nice break since the St. Michael's game and that'll give the likes of Kevin Davis, who has been having hamstring trouble, the chance to rest and recover before this big game at Éire Óg. The likes of Donal O'Codnett, who made his comeback from ACL injury this year, he'll have appreciated the chance to have that extra week or two rest as well to have his body fit and right for what's going to be a huge challenge, Jack, because...
Yeah, Kieran, just on Sunday's opponents then... Éire Óg, they're going to be no soft touch, are they? They were very impressive in their last outing against St. Michael's, winning, I don't have the score down in front of me, but I know
17 points,
win, yeah. And like Skib, as you mentioned, only beat St. Michael's by a point, so I know you can't go totally off form lines like that, but it is something that we can look at, and so Skib are going to be up against it.
I think that that's a real warning for Skibbereen, you know, kind of because they're going in against an Éire Óg team now that is high in confidence, and Éire Óg are going well in both fronts, hurling and football. So Éire Óg have momentum behind them, they're on a real roll, and they'd be really dangerous opponents. Like you said there, Éire Óg hammered St. Michael's, I think it was by 17 points, and I think they restricted Michael's to only 4 or 5 points in total. And when you consider that St. Michael's hit 312 against Skibbereen, it's telling you, like, this Aero Oak team can put up big scores. This Aero Oak team, they kept Michaels to 4 or 5 points, which is an incredible tally. And a central figure for the Aero Oak attack is Daniel Goulding. It's 10 years since Cork won the All-Ireland Senior Football title, but Goulding has shown that class really is permanent. I think he scored 228 in this year's championship. He kicked 9 points against St. Michael's in that win, and 7 of those were from play. When they beat Kishgame in the group stages, he scored 2-7. When they beat Bantry, I think he got 8 points. So Goulding is kicking some huge scores there. So I don't think Skibbereen have to look too far to see who they need to keep an eye on this Sunday in Clonakilty for this semi-final. But it's a big challenge for Skib. But on the other hand, they're motoring nicely. They're very happy with where they are right now. They've been in a rebuilding process the last couple of years, and they kind of see this as year 3 of a 3-year process, that they've integrated a lot of younger players in with the older group. And when I'm talking of the older players, we're talking of Donal O'Cognett, Ryan Price in goal, Dave Shannon, who's back this year, Daniel Hazel, Thomas Hegarty, and Paddy Crowley, who we're going to hear from very soon. So you have that experienced core group there. You have these young fellas like Dylan Howard and Sean Fitzgerald, Owen Fitzgerald, and Elliot Connolly, who are injecting youth energy, drive, enthusiasm into the setup. So they're in a good place right now. But what matters now is what happens on Sunday. I've seen Skib, like I said, hammer St. Nicks in an easy game. I've seen them come through a tough game against Ballinghiri, and they show great character to come back against St. Michael's. They need to show that and more to beat a very good Aero Oak team on Sunday. But this Skib team can do that. They can get to the county final. And when I spoke to Paddy Crowley earlier, he was in good form. Delighted to be joined by O'Donovan Rossa, captain Paddy Crowley. It'll be a huge game for the Skibbereen team this Sunday when they take on Aero Oak. Before we look at that game in detail, Paddy, take me back to the start of this Senior A football campaign. What was O'Donovan Ross's primary target?
Thanks, Kieran. Primary target for us, it would have been that we have a strong campaign in kind of the group stage. For a lot of our players over the last couple of years, winning games hasn't been as successful as we'd hoped. That's why we've been dropped down the grade. We wanted to put in a good campaign at the group stage, so we were backing 3 wins in the group, and we got it. Very luckily, but if things were different, if COVID wasn't here at the minute, it could have been a lot different, because we had 5 guys who were planning J1s in the summer. So the way the fixtures would have been there, it would have been a bit harder for us with guys heading away. Like, the 5 guys are starters. They're kind of the new leaders in the group, as we call them now, that if they were gone, things could have been a lot more different for us. But look, we've been very lucky. Everyone has been around. So we got our 3 group games. That was a target from day one. As we say, it's a road wave. We set a target. It was 5 games at the start. We said we'd go 3. And then after 3, game number 4 is Aero Oak, and we were lucky enough to get into a semi-final top 2. We've game number 4 now to weekend. So it's just a pat, as we say, a pat of 5 games. But it's another hurdle in front of us now this weekend coming.
You mentioned there, Paddy, about winning games. And I suppose if you look at the old senior football championship over the last couple of years, I know there was, I think, a semi-final in 2015, but I suppose you probably lost more games than you won in the kind of campaigns since then, bar probably 2019. So to get back to winning games again, especially when there's so many young players coming through, like you won your 3 group games, what does that do for confidence in the group?
It's massive. It's a lot of people say this, you know, that when you're up in senior, you're always competing, but there's competing, and there's kind of, you're learning a lot. And I think throughout the last few years, we've been really taught a few lessons by a few of the stronger teams. Now we got Nemo once or twice, and they're at a different level. They're always going to be top 3, top 4 team. And they taught us lessons a couple of times. And for guys, when you're getting lessons taught to you like that, it's very hard to really take positives out of those games, because it's always negatives you're after losing. So for us, I think winning games is a massive help for our guys, because winning is everything, but even after a win, you're always looking to see what you can improve on. So even in our games this year, we're winning games, but we're still learning from things we could improve on in our next games. And I think throughout the campaign so far, we've learned new things. So from the first game against say Knicks, we're after taking things away. That was for Ballingeary. Especially in the Ballingeary game, we took a hell of a lot away. And the Michaels game as well, we only turned up for a half an hour against Michaels because we were just so flat in the first half. So we've taken a lot and we're learning a lot. And again, a lot of our boys are very young. I think we don't have that many guys. We've known over the age of 30 playing. I think there's only 5 or 6 over the age of 25 on the starting team. Like, so you have a lot of young guys relying on there for positions and things like that. So for them, it's massive. It's critical that they're learning how to win.
From those three group games, like you mentioned there, against St. Nick's, Ballingeary and St. Michael's, what was the big takeaway that you took from those three games?
I think it was just a kind of our general attitude toward games, because sometimes you can go into games and people will say, you're only playing X and you're only playing Y. That wasn't the case. I think it's kind of, a lot of people would say this, it's kind of your mental preparation towards the games. I think for every game, we prepared differently. In the sense of different opponents and how we broke down the games and things like that. So I think it's trying to get your head around what's actually ahead of you. So it's kind of mental preparation for it. Because like when you come with a good attitude all the time and work rate, the football really follows. But when you don't come with a work rate and a hunger and a desire, the football, you're very sluggish. And I think that happened to a small bit against St. Michael's. I think we were just caught and the hop because we hadn't been up to that quick pace, because when we played say Knicks, they had a few players missing due to the hurling, and then we played Ballingeary, it was a dirty day, so it was a different game of football we were playing that day. And then against Michaels, it was probably one of the best days you could ask to play a championship football. So I think it's just about being mentally prepared for these games and just being tuned in properly across the board.
You kind of mentioned there the St. Michael's game, and like you said, Skip didn't turn up for the first half, but you turned it around in the second half. You came back from 8 points down to win a cracker. I think it was 3-13 to 3-12. But then, when you see what Aoire Óg did to St. Michael's in their quarterfinal, and I think Aoire Óg won by 17 points, kind of, what was the thinking in the camp then? Like, did that cause heads to turn in Skibbereen?
I don't think it caused heads to turn, but it got us thinking. Like, Aoire Óg are a fabulous side. St. Michael's are a fabulous side. Like, I think it's been a very, very competitive. To think that heads were turned, I think a lot of people would have been surprised with the scoreline in the game, because they've played quite a bit themselves. So I think we're just more tuned in to seeing... like, they're dangerous across the board, like from 1 to 15 they're very dangerous. And like, I think they brought on Kieran Sheen and Kevin Hallisey, like, to have those type of guys on their bench to come on. it's quite scary. So like, a lot of clubs can say that they have players like that in their artillery to come in afterwards. So it's quite scary, but I think just preparing is kind of going to be the big thing here. And again, as our previous point, it's kind of about preparation from all the lads. I think that we just have to be really tuned in, because I don't think we could afford to have an 8-point deficit against Aoire Óg and think that we're going to come around in the second half of the day, because that's not going to happen. It's just about hunger and desire on the day, I'd say, is going to be a key thing to that game.
The reward for Donovan Ross finishing on top of their group was you got an automatic semi-final spot, so you've got an extra week's rest compared to Aoire Óg. But on the flip side of that, Paddy, the fact that you've had that longer rest than Aoire Óg, and they're coming off the back of a good win against St. Michael's, and they're going to win in the hurling, so they probably feel they have momentum behind them. Kind of, does topping that group then, kind of, does it, is the reward as good as it could have been, do you think?
Yes and no. I suppose, look, we're in a county semi-final. You know, those days don't come around too often. But it would be on the back of the head as well, a small bit, that I suppose they're after two great games, or in the hurling as well, I suppose they're after two great games so far, that they're at championship pace. So every week it's just constant championship pace. Where we honestly don't know where we are, because we haven't had a game. I suppose it's been a bit scary for a lot of clubs to go out and play games the last few weeks, because just with COVID and things. So it's kind of been in-house. So we've had a few in-house games and things like that with ourselves, and the pace has been quite good, but it's a different thing when you're playing lads that you're training with all the time compared to going out in championship. So there is far and against topping the group. I suppose, look, we were very lucky. We didn't have to play a quarterfinal 2 weeks after the Michaels game because we had a few injuries. So guys got to rest up and things like that. So I suppose that's one benefit, that anyone that has any niggly injuries, that they're able to afford that extra week of rest. So that's probably one of the big things with it, that you're just being able to afford guys that extra bit of rest before the next game.
You mentioned earlier too, probably the kind of younger fellas who are driving this on at the moment, and they're probably bringing this energy and enthusiasm to the setup. But the kind of, for want of a better word, the older age group, which I'm going to put you a part of with the likes of Ryan Price, Dave Shannon, Donal O, Thomas Hegarty, Kevin Davis. You know, you've been there, done that from under 21 up. You've been in county senior semi-finals. Your experience on Sunday will be crucial too. So how can you help the young lads kind of, I suppose, deal with the occasion? Because it is, it's a big game. It's a county semi-final.
Yeah, it's like we were there in 2015 against Castlehaven, and it was probably one of the best atmospheres I've ever played. And like we were playing our neighbours that day, and just the atmosphere alone, I think we kind of just as a group, we need to get everyone enjoying the day more so than anything. That it's not this big black bubble that's going to swallow you up and take you away. It's kind of, you need to enjoy the atmosphere. Now the next day there'll probably be no atmosphere. We're not too sure what's the story yet. Like even if there's only 100 people inside watching, it's still not a great atmosphere. But for the team of a county semi-final, players need to soak that up. They need to kind of enjoy it. They need to have fun. And like just let the ball do the work that day. Like that's the basic things you need to be kind of enforcing to the younger fellas, and they have loads of confidence, and I've no doubt that they'll enjoy the day ahead on Sunday when it comes around.
I was looking at Aero Oak there, and obviously Denon Goulding has been shooting the lights out for them. But from a Skibbereen point of view, as a defender, when you look up the pitch and you see Donal O'Cognett, Dave Shannon, Kevin Davis, kind of Elliot Connolly, Dylan Horan, guys like this, how much confidence do you have in those lads? Because ye have the ability to shoot the lights out too. Like you put 4-22 up against St. Nick's, 17 points on a bad day against Ballingeary without Kevin Davis, who was outside the pitch that day. You put up 3-13 against St. Michael's. So there's a huge scoring potential in the Skibbereen team.
Yeah, I think, look, you can look at other teams a lot and you can say they have X, Y and Z, but it's very easy for ourselves. The last few years we wouldn't have been able to do it to a certain extent because we were missing guys a lot. But this year, when everyone's around, when you're looking up the field and you're seeing the caliber of players up there, like Donny was a massive loss when he went last year through injury. When you see the likes of him back, and you know, when you see Dave Shannon inside full forward again, we've a bit of size again, and we've just personnel. Do you know that's the key thing that. And in saying that, then the guys that would have probably been starting instead of those places, they're still within the group, and they're like they're the first players on. So you're kind of you have a bench again, which is the thing, because we were kind of drained a small bit last year through injury. When we played Clonakilty, we were missing about four guys when we played Clan. But this year now, we've everyone. There's no major injuries or anything like that. So you kind of you have your starting group, and then you have your bench as well, and the bench have been excellent so far. A lot of the older guys that would have played junior this year, they're still training. They've been critical to the group as well, because they're bringing the intensity as well sometimes, the older guys, because a lot of the younger fellas, they're learning off them. So it's kind of vital that they're still part of the environment as well. So it's kind of, we do have as good forwards as any other team in the county at the moment. And if they are on song on Sunday, I think that you could have a good day ahead, no problem.
Very best of luck on Sunday, Paddy. Hope it works out for you.
Cheers, Kieran. Thank you very much.
Access Credit Union has always been at the heart of our community through good and bad times. We want to continue to play our part in helping our community through the COVID-19 crisis. As businesses reopen, we encourage our community to work together by staying local, borrowing locally, and spending locally. Access Credit Union is here to help.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And before we wrap up this week's show, we're just going to give a quick preview of what to expect in this Thursday's Southern Star. So, Kieran, take it away.
I suppose for fans of Cosy Rovers and Clannachilty's hurlers, this Star is a must-read. From Cosy's for a moment, we've talked to Sinead O'Reilly, Karen Cahan. I got Paddy Murray's thoughts on their County Senior Championship win. So a collector's item, I think, for Cosy's fans. The same for Clannachilty. We have a two-page spread on their Carby Junior A hurling final with a match report reaction analysis. Again, a must-have, must-buy for Clannachilty fans. Also, any fans of Randalogue, you need to buy Thursday Southern Star. Randalogue beat Kilbritton in the Junior B hurling championship final last Saturday in Ahiol. It's the first leg of what Randalogue hope will be a Carbery double. And we have a page and a half of Randalogue's big win, including an interview with John Collins. And wait for this, Jack. John Collins was man of the match for Randalogue. He's 47 years of age and he won the man of the match award. What a brilliant story. I think he said he's been playing at Randalogue for, I think, 38 years, which is obviously since he was a kid. So brilliant, brilliant story. So all fans of Randalogue, get this Thursday Southern Star, cut it out, put it up on the wall, make a poster of it, because it's one to keep. I have an interview with Anthony Seymour, the Castlehaven goalkeeper, ahead of Castlehaven's Premier Senior Football Championship semi-final this Sunday. It's kind of an unusual one because Castlehaven don't know yet who they're meeting, because St Finbarr's and Lucestown are playing in this quarterfinal this Wednesday. I also have an interview with Donald O'Codnett of O'Donovan Rasa, who made his comeback from ACL injury this year, just to see how he's feeling ahead of the big game against Éire Óg. Also, Jack, and you'll love to hear this, we've a big preview of the West Cork League season, which... it just seemed like last season's league just finished, but the new campaign is kicking off this weekend. So we have a preview of the Premier Division, of the Championship. Gerard McCarthy ranks the 10 teams in the Premier Division where he thinks they're going to finish. So all complaints can be forwarded to Gerard McCarthy, who's very visible on Twitter. You'll find him on Twitter, so direct your complaints there. Interesting, Jack, I know you're obviously Baltimore Rovers standout player, their star signing from Kilkenny the last couple of years, but the Championship looks really competitive this year. I think just 13 clubs in there, and Barry United have a team there. They're back in there. So how are you feeling ahead of the big kickoff?
I'm absolutely buzzing because, yeah, there's a few new teams. I think Cork Mac have a team. Maybe Kilbritton, I think, do they have a team in there?
Togar Celtic have a B team in there too.
Togar have a B team, yeah, who we're playing on the first day out on Sunday. But yeah, buzzing to get back. We had our first pre-season friendly on Sunday just gone. Local derby against Skibbereen. True to all, we let in a goal, I would say, in the 95th minute of out of time. Why the referee was still playing out of time in a pre-season friendly, I will never know. But regardless, it was good to get back out there. A few new faces lining out for the Crabs. So all positive ahead of the new season. If we don't get promoted this year, I'll cut my hair.
So you're going to go through for 12 months without cutting that hair?
Yeah.
That's going to be a sight to behold in the coming months. But like we're saying there, there's loads in this Thursday Southern Star. And even I have a nice story on how Storm Ophelia in 2017, how its brute force has ended up with Adrigo GA Club having these fantastic new floodlights there that can be seen all over the Barry Peninsula. So that story and more is in this Thursday Southern Star.
Yeah, and that'll be in shops across West Cork and beyond from Thursday morning. And as always, if you can't make it to the shops, you can always subscribe to the digital edition online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper and you can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán go fóill.